coming from Romans chapter 13, verse 7. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. You may be seated.
What a special service this is to be able to honor our three former elders and their families, and for Don to be able to present his lesson to remind us about our freedoms and the blessings we have of this nation and the power of prayer. I hope that you'll stay and enjoy our meal with us and the time of singing and devotional also at 1:30. I want to begin in kind of an unusual way in thinking about these men. And, you know, sometimes they have teased me or given some jokes to me, and so I wanted to kind of begin by thinking a little more about them. You know, I thought, I know these guys really well. I've worked with them for the last almost 16 years, and I thought maybe there's something I don't know, and I said, I'll search the internet, do a Google search. You know, you got to be careful believing everything you see online, but I want to share some of the things I found. First of all, I saw this, famous church leaders of the 1800s. And that was what I expected, David Lipscomb, M.B. Hardiman. But what I was really surprised to find is there was a guy I knew. Don Sparks, right there. He hasn't hardly aged any. And I thought, that's amazing. I was being able to be connected with that. But then I thought, well, you know, if I found something on Don, I wonder if I found anything on Larry Knight. So I typed in Larry Knight. Wonder if there's something I don't know about him. Longest elder-led prayers in Churches of Christ in 2000. There are the Orville, He Never Stops, with 15 minutes and 45 seconds on January 13th. But right there, Larry Knight, number two, April 25th, 2010, 12 minutes, Seven Oaks Church of Christ, verified by Ray Wormuth. Called that one in, Ray. Still ahead of Bill Goodpasture, November 12th. And then I thought, well, this has just been interesting. I didn't know these things about these guys. What about Bridges Holland? So I typed in Bridges Holland. Lowest handicapped golf leaders in Churches of Christ. I thought, well, I may find my name on this list. Right there, number one, was Kenny Perry. 5-under handicap, plays out deacon at the Franklin Church of Christ. But brethren, we need to know. Number two on the list was Bridges Holland, 4-handicap elder at the Seven Oaks Church of Christ. Didn't find my name anywhere on the list in the top 100 lowest handicapped golf leaders in Churches of Christ. Well, of course, I'm just teasing and only joking, and none of that is true. But I do want to say to the honorees that we need to express thanksgiving and gratefulness of our hearts, and I certainly want to say from my heart to theirs that I am grateful and thankful for their service, for my friendship with them, my time of being able to work with them and under them as a preacher here, and also on behalf of the congregation, express appreciation and honor to them. I want to break our lesson this morning into three categories. I want to say something, first of all, to the honorees. Then I'll say something to our present leadership, and then I'll say something to our church family or to the flock. When we think about the honorees, I think it's important to note the passage that was just read, Romans chapter 13, verse number 7. When these men learned and we expressed to them desire that we wanted to have some type of service like this, their response was typical of what you might expect. Well, you don't have to do that, or we don't really want a part of that. We don't. It's not their natural thing to say, yeah, I want to be recognized or honored. That's why they have been men who've led so well, because they didn't do it for personal glory. But it's important to understand that it's biblical for us to do this. And it is also something that we should be doing to recognize and honor those who have served well and who are worthy of honor. In fact, the Bible teaches in Romans chapter 13, verse 7, that we are to give honor to those who honor is due, respect to those whom respect is due. And so for us to just allow key moments in our church history to pass without pausing and saying, we need to be thankful, we need to recognize, we need to be thankful, to honor, would be wrong of us. And it certainly is something that we are right in doing. And it's certainly something we're thankful they allowed us to do, to honor them. Because honor is certainly due them. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 12, the Bible talks about the same concept. And it says in verse 12, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. Notice, Paul is talking to those who are over them in the Lord, to their elders, their shepherds, those who admonish you, who lead you. And he says in verse 13, to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. It is healthy, helpful, and biblical for us to honor, to esteem these men very highly in love, to show our love, to show our appreciation. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, the passage that was used on the plaque here and also the plaques they received, the Bible says in verse 17, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. The Bible teaches us that shepherds and elders are to be honored. They are to be appreciated. And truly, thank you is not enough, but it is necessary. Appreciation for sacrifices and efforts that have been made. Appreciation for their willingness to accept such a role and to watch over our souls. When you think about the list that Joel read and you think about all the years of service and all the many hats that elders wear and all the different types of areas of ministry they serve in, you understand that we need to express appreciation. We also express appreciation to their wives and to their children for the sacrifices and services they rendered, to give up time and opportunity because of their husband's service, for the support and strength that they've given them. While it may not have been something these men initially wanted, we say thank you also for allowing us to honor them and recognize them. It's necessary for the church to be thankful, but I also think it's necessary for the work of the elder, because none of us want to do a thankless job. And if we want to have elders in the future, and if we want our young people to be watching us and thinking about those roles of deacon and elder in the church, we need them to know that when you serve and fulfill those roles, you are appreciated, you are cared for, you are loved, you are honored. You see, other men also need to remember and know that you are respected and appreciated for doing the work of an elder. The eldership should never be a thankless job. It should never be a thankless job. It should be one of constant encouragement, prayer, and appreciation. And today we formally do that by saying thank you. Next, let me say something to our present elders, to Marty and Joel, and to the rest of us as well. And that comes from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, where the Bible speaks of this concept here in verse 17. The Bible says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. We need to be grateful. As we mentioned, this plaque will go on the wall with the plaque of other former elders. That God in His divine wisdom saw it necessary that there wasn't a need in the church for there to be a single man, but rather a plurality of men. And that also there was the case that the mission is more important than the position. And that as different men will occupy the position, the mission will remain the same. And so as men, because of life, get older, and even by necessity sometimes have to step away, there are still other men who take up that baton and carry the role of an elder. And we want that to continue. We've been blessed that for years here we've had an eldership and we've had deacons. And we want that to continue into the future. And it's not about which man or which men are serving, but it's about them being faithful to their calling and being willing to serve. So it is, we could go back and think about any decade of the history of our church, and you'll find different men occupying the position, but the mission remained the same. That's the way we want it to be in the future, is that there's going to be maybe different men in the future occupying the position, but the mission remains the same. And when he talks about the mission here in Hebrews chapter 13, he talks about how we have a need to obey these and submit to these, those who are leading us and follow and guiding us. And we see the beauty of God's plan in that. But we also see that there's a great burden, and that they have a burden of watching over our souls. And this makes us appreciate those who serve as elders. We must be reminded that church leaders have a holy, godly burden to watch out for our souls, that they must give an account. And thus we encourage our present elders to remind them and to remind ourselves that we understand they have that burden. But we want to remind them of Exodus chapter 33, like Moses, who had a similar burden. And he asked God, and he's talking to God about how can he lead these people. And he says in verse 14, God says to Moses, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And Moses replied to him, "If your presence will not go with me, then do not bring us up from here." I'm reminded of Daniel as well, which is similar to Exodus 33, talking about the presence of God. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 3, Daniel was in great, he was burdened. And he's talking about praying and fasting with sackcloth and ashes. And he says, as soon in verse 23, "As soon as I began to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you, you are highly esteemed." We need to remind those who are carrying a burden that they are affirmed, that God's presence is with them, that God is working through them and in them, and there needs to be an affirmation always of our present leaders, that we are grateful for their willingness to serve, and that we need to encourage them, and that we need to pray for them, and that we need as to remind ourselves and remind them that God is with them, and that they have the blessing of God, and that they are affirmed in their role, that they have come to this, to the kingdom, for such a time as this. And so we say, you are affirmed, you are blessed, God's presence is with you. And then to the flock of God, to the church of God, we stay in Hebrews chapter 13, and we say in verse number 17 and 18, some counsel for us as well. When the Bible says in verse 17, "Obey your leaders," obviously there is obedience and a submission to our eldership. The mission is still the same. But notice also they keep watch over our souls. We're grateful. We are grateful that they are shepherding us, that they are watching over our souls. They care about us. And then he says, "Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." Let them do this with joy. We should want to, in every way, assist our elders to doing the work with joy. And as we read off, and as Joel read the list of duties and what we might call sometimes concerns and burdens, and dealing with hard things like marriage and divorce, and dealing with all the different things that elders have to deal with, and thinking about unfaithful sheep and all those things, sometimes we give the impression, and as I talked just in the former point about the burden that a church leader feels and a burden that he has upon him, we sometimes give the impression that being a church leader is just all burdensome, and we give a negative impression of it. And I think it's appropriate, obviously, for us to understand that burden. But I think you could talk to Bridges and Don and Larry, and they would tell you that they also did experience times of a burden and times of stress. But they also had many great times of joy. And then it's a great feeling and opportunity to be able to serve in the kingdom of Christ as a church leader. I believe I can speak for them in saying there were lots of joyous times. Think because of the church, because the church let them serve with joy and not with groaning. And we need to make sure that we allow our present and future elders to rule with joy and not develop in our young, those who are below the age of 40 or even those above the age of 40, but especially those younger that are coming up, to look at the church office, any church offices, elders, deacons, or preacher, as a burden that you don't want saddled upon you. It's not what God is saying here. Notice he says here, let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for it would be of no advantage to you. And I say it would be of no advantage to us in the church if everybody thought of the roles of a preacher, elder, or deacon as something that was so burdensome and no joy to it. Let's remember that we want our elders, we want our deacons, we want our preachers to serve with joy. And we want to be reminded of the joy we have of being called to serve in the Lord's house and of being able to be a vessel in the hands of the Lord, to be able to be in a position where you can influence the kingdom of God and change the world. You see, we need to therefore pray, verse 18, pray for us. Our duty is to pray. And I'm so thankful that these three men are transitioning and have transitioned out of their role as an elder, but they are all still actively serving and blessing our church family and will do so, Lord willing, for years to come. So let's pray. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for our present elders. Let's pray for future leaders. Our role is to pray. But then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 13, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 13, after he talks about esteem them very highly in love because of their work, he says, be at peace among yourselves. Notice how both passages dealing with honoring elders talks about the way you can honor them is also by allowing them to do their work with joy and by being at peace among yourselves. Being at peace among yourselves. Seeking to work under their guidance and under their direction. Wanting to follow them. Then I would say this to the flock of God. Don't fill their shoes. You know, whenever you have significant transitions, lots of times you like to hear the old George Jones song referred to, who's going to fill their shoes? Recently we had a day where several well-known gospel preachers died. Tom Holland and another gentleman who had started the OBS, Open Bible Study Program. They all died on the same day, and you saw a different Facebook post about how our generation, who's going to fill the shoes of these men? And we can do that in a local church context too, when we have, as we have had, and we honor the transitions that we go through. We say, well, who's going to fill their shoes? And we think about that, and I think that's a good sentiment in some ways. But it can also make those younger feel discouraged. It can make them feel like, because none of us often feel like we measure up to the previous generation, and we feel smaller and lesser. And so sometimes it can make us feel discouraged. And what I liked, I read an article on this that was really helpful by Dale Jenkins when this was going around a few months back. And he made a great point. He said, it's not your responsibility to fill their shoes. It's your responsibility to walk in your shoes. Think about that. That God is not expecting you, whatever position you are serving in your influence for Christ, to fill anybody else's shoes. But He is expecting you to fill your shoes. To do what He can use you to do. God doesn't expect us to preach like some of the greats of the past. In fact, though their sermons were great then, if I quoted their sermons verbatim now, you probably may not understand some of the words. But God does expect me to preach the best I can today. And so it is when you're thinking about future leaders of the church, is that we cannot fill these men's shoes, but we can fill our own shoes and do the best we can with what God has given us. And on the day of judgment, that is what we'll give an account for. It's not how well we filled someone else's shoes, but how well we filled our own shoes. And so I think of Charles Wesley, his song in 1762 that he wrote, "A charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, never dying soul to save, and fit for the sky," listen to this, "to serve the present age." Our job is to serve our present age. Others, we're grateful for the age they have served. We're thankful for those who are serving now. And then those in the future who will come to serve their present age. Do what you can while it is your turn to serve and follow Christ. And so we honor these men because they served their time well. And we're grateful for that. In conclusion, I think about 1 Thessalonians 5:12 through 13 again. We ask you, brothers, this is what Paul may have said to us this morning. We ask you, church, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, to admonish you and esteem them very highly in love. That's what we're doing. We're esteeming them highly in love because of their sacrifice, because of their work to the church. And be at peace among yourselves. This morning, if you're not a child of God, if you've not yet chosen to step up and fill the shoes God wants you to fill by becoming a Christian, then please don't put it off any longer, but give your life to Christ. If you need to rededicate your life, if you need to come back to the Lord, if we can help you in any way, come as together we stand and as we sing.